Arizona has some of the strictest rules in place for public benefits, things like food stamps and cash assistance for needy families. Some advocates say they're seeing that lead to families selling their food stamps to pay for things like rent. We have two perspectives on this today, starting with Cynthia Zwick, Executive Director of Arizona Community Action Association. And Cynthia, is it common for families to be doing that?
No, in fact, it's very uncommon in this state. And I guess I would like to say first off, it's illegal to do it. But it's not very common at all.
Is it easier or harder, do you think, to be a low-income resident of Arizona than, you know, relative to other states?
I think it's getting harder and harder. And Arizona has the third highest poverty rate. We have a huge number of families who are struggling to make ends meet. And I think the story that you saw earlier is testament to that. People can't pay their utility bills. They can't pay their rent. They're having trouble purchasing food. The benefit for SNAP is very low, by the way. On average, it's about $120 a
month. SNAP is food stamps.
SNAP, exactly. So the benefit's fairly low.
And it's been getting a little bit lower, right? I mean, and the amount of time that residents can use these benefits has also been shrinking over time.
Well, I think you're talking about TANF. So the SNAP benefits have stayed fairly stable. They can, as long as they're eligible for them, they can continue to receive them. The amount that they receive has been in flux and is decreasing and is insufficient, obviously. The Temporary Assistance to Needy Families benefit is a cash assistance program, and those are the ones that have gotten significantly shorter in duration.
And people who get that can use them for a wide variety of things. It's not specifically food. It could be rent. It could be utilities. It could be a lot of things. For people who get this amount of money and can only get it for a limited amount of time, what happens to those folks once that time runs out?
Well, it depends on the family, obviously, but some of those folks are relying more and more on nonprofits to make ends meet. They're relying on food banks to get food for their families. Some of them are becoming homeless. We know that that's happening. And some of them are under threat of becoming homeless and doing without.
As the state gets a little bit more money in its coffers, there are obviously a lot of competing priorities for how to spend that, whether you want to call it a surplus or not. And a lot of programs in state government were cut during the recession. Do you have any measure of optimism that some of these social service, social safety net programs will see any of that extra money that the state has?
Well, we're starting to see a little bit of progress. So I don't want to say it's sufficient, but we are starting to see some additional support for childcare. We are starting to see some support for foster grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. And we're starting to see some support for kids care at the state level. So hopefully that will be a beginning. There are small steps, and we're grateful for those small steps, but clearly much more needs to be done to support families in Arizona.
Cynthia Zwick is Executive Director of Arizona Community Action Association. For another perspective, we turn to Andrea Chavez. She's the Career Development Manager for Save the Family in Mesa. It provides housing and support services for low-income families. Andrea, what types of circumstances do your clients face?
A typical client right now is a single mom with a couple of children. They're typically coming in unemployed, and they're looking for opportunities to get back on their feet. Some of them are coming to us with absolutely no income, so we're deciding whether they need to get on state benefits or even if they qualify for state benefits at this point. Most of the families are coming in, and they're between the ages of 20 and 30, leaving domestic violence situations or other situations that just weren't healthy.
Do you find that you tend to see people before they apply for or receive state benefits?
More recently, I've seen a lot of our younger families, they've capped out of their benefits already. So although they're going to be changing the requirements again here in July, those families have already met their lifetime benefit, meaning they're showing up at our doors with no source of income or inability to get state assistance. So the push for employment is that much more important for that family.
For those families who have basically run out of state cash assistance, what do they do? Like, what kinds of choices are they having to make?
Well, if you think about the everyday expenses that you and I would have to pay, they're having to rely on agencies such as ours, and we're having to definitely increase the collaborations that we have. So, for instance, although a mom with one child might benefit from $100 to $200 in state benefits, if they're not able to get that, they're not able to pay the monthly phone bill, which hurts their chances of being heard from an employer. they might need to pay a registration fee of $50 to get their children registered in a child care center. But again, with no source of income, they're having to reach out to a bunch of different agencies that offer different services just to make ends meet, which isn't easy. There's a lot of red tape and paperwork to that type of thing. So imagine yourself in a situation where you can't pay your phone bill, but you're trying to even access these services just to figure out who can help.
How do you work with these families to help them prioritize if they have very finite financial support, how to spend it, what bills to pay, and what maybe they need to let go?
Well, we're very fortunate. Once they're in our program, they're assigned to work with the case manager. The case managers and the support staff here work together to help them figure it out. So they will typically meet with me, and we'll come up with a plan for employment, and I can offer referrals of where to get the phone bill paid. Say the family offers a small amount of client needs money where maybe we could pay a $50 registration fee at a daycare center. But, you know, we're having to pull from different ends to make ends meet for the amount of families that we serve.
Do you find that you have enough money as an organization to help the families to the extent that you'd like to?
Oh, gosh. I think my immediate response to that is no. There's been a lot of limits to the type of funding that we're getting. There's been a lot of changes to that. And to meet the day-to-day needs that the families typically could have met receiving state assistance, we're having to pick up that as well, in addition to paying for all the needs that we offer as an agency.
Andrea Chavez is the Career Development Manager for Save the Family.